Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Listen to that. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. God has laid down for us the Ten Commandments, which, if lived in spirit and truth, will bring us into union with God and bring us into greater and greater reconciliation with one another. That's what God's about. Are those your priorities? I spoke about this somewhat yesterday, and the readings today continue it. God must want us to really get this reality, perhaps for the first time, because I've spoken about it many times on this program. Are God's priorities, are God's laws, his commandments, are they first in my life? Well, no, I lie, I cheat, I steal, but you know what? I really give away a lot at Christmas time. I really do reach out. Have you repented for the other? You don't just say, well, this generous act will compensate for what I've done wrong. No, it doesn't work that way. God is honored by your generosity. But if you think you're making up for your sins, in a certain way we are, but you can't ignore your sins. You need to repent of your sins. Repentance means I'm sorry and I will do my best not to do this again. Very clear, very straightforward. So you won't be perfect. We are all sinful human beings. But if you regularly repent of your sin, you're going to be in a place where God can work through you. And the most of the way in which he works through us is how we treat one another, how we care for one another, how we serve one another. Love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, it's not legalistic, checkmarked, all done, everything filled in, all finished, completed, done, and then think that God's going to welcome us into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't work that way. Have I repented for my sin? Do I seek to love God, and do I seek to love my neighbor? And I repent when I fail. Is that the consistent theme in your life? It needs to be. Psalm 112, bless the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. In other words, puts the Lord's word, the Lord's commandments first. Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. He dawns through the darkness, a light for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. These are God's priorities. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are they our priorities? And what do I need to change that they become, step by step, word by word, they become my priorities? Brothers and sisters, you say, oh yeah, yeah, I need to do something. No, decide today to do something. Forgive a neighbor. Pray for someone who has hurt you. Ask God's blessing upon them. Maybe you've offended someone. Call them today. Make a distinct act to turn away from how you have lived to really more and more becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. The gospel today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What does that mean, hate? If anyone comes to me without hating, it means that even these most precious relationships and most precious responsibilities, father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even our own selves, those are high priorities or should be in our life. Are they? Father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters. Are they high priority? And then look what Jesus says. If anyone comes to me without hating them. What does he mean by that? He simply means, hating means, that I put someone first, even above these most deep attachments and responsibilities in his life, in our lives. And that person is Jesus. That we put Jesus first and his word first. And then we are in a position to genuinely loving our father, mother, brothers, and sisters. And what Jesus means without hating, it means that even those most precious relationships in our lives are second to God. Now, most of the time they can work in tandem, but sometimes God asks something that our parents, our families want something else, or it's going to cost them, and yet we know it's God. We need to talk those kinds of things over with them. Don't just act on your own. But our main responsibility is to put God first and his word first, even above the most precious relationships we have. And there's clear commandments about how we're to relate to parents and wives and husbands and children. They're very clear things. But what the Lord is saying, even above these most precious of all relationships, is or needs to be your obedience to me. Do we put God first? If we actually, let me say this quite clearly, if God is first in your life and God's word is first in your life, your love for your parents, for your wives, your husbands, your children, family members, your love for them will grow. It will get greater when you put God first, because God blesses us when we put things in right order. Pay heed to this. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, this one began to build, but he didn't have the resources to finish. In other words, he should have known that. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. In other words, obedience to God, allegiance to God, love for God is even over the most precious relationships you have in this life and the ones that you have obligations to. It's a matter of order. It's not either or. It's a matter of order, because if you love God and do what God asks of you, you will in turn become a blessing, to a greater blessing, to these most precious of relationships. But God is saying that we have to wrestle with the fact that he's first. That's the only way. It's the only way our lives are going to be genuinely peaceful, and we're going to advance the kingdom of God, and that we're going to receive eternal life. Put him first. I know that there are difficulties. I know it's hard sometimes. But if you put him first, and you're as kind as you can to others, then God will bless. And God will make many situations in your life work once you've got the right priorities and you're willing to follow them. A meditation for the day in Magnificat magazine says this: Jacques Maritain has some wise words on the parables of the man counting his resources before building a tower, and the king counting his army before meeting his enemy in the field. Which means to say, he writes, before setting to work for God and to fight against the devil, first calculate your forces. If you consider yourself well enough equipped to begin, you are a fool, because the tower to be built costs an outrageous price, and the enemy coming out to meet you is an angel before whom you are of no account. Get to know yourself so well that you cannot contemplate yourself without flinching. In other words, understand your weaknesses. See them. Face them. Then there will be room for hope in the sure knowledge that you are obliged to do the impossible and that you can do the impossible in him who strengthens you. Then you are ready for a task which can be performed only through the cross, helping to bring to salvation all those you love, doing it God's way. You love your family, you'll love your friends, your relatives much more if you do it God's way, with God's priorities. So he says, at times God takes away all props, all help from his children, leaves them apparently bereft, and reduces them apparently to failure and desolation, so that sometimes they seem to have no faith left in him, in themselves, or in anything at all. But it is all done with a purpose. Hear this. It is all done. God allows it. With a purpose. For when at last there is nothing left but our dry bones. In other words, I can't do this. If they turn to him in humility, he can make the dry bones live and bring success out of failure and hope and achievement out of despair. Put God first. It's not an easy ride always, but if you put God first, even in the midst of the most precious earthly relationships you have, and you follow him, all those you relate to and all those you love will be enormously blessed. But if we rely on ourselves to take care of our family, if we rely on ourselves in all kinds of ways, we're going to fail. Put God first. That's what God asks. Unless you hate father and mother, and he means don't put them first, put him first, and you will find blessing. I promise you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.